I always thought, brother, you were a preacher. I'm beginning to wonder, you're such a good salesman.
We'll see how many we sell,
Ben. Oh, yes. There was a lady who mentioned to me Dr. Muma, and I cannot recall just who she was. Would she identify herself tonight if she's here? Thank you so much, if you would. This morning we were looking at the thanksgivings of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we spoke of thanksgiving for the revelation of God, then thanksgiving with rejoicing, and thirdly, thanksgiving for a gift received. Now tonight we're going to read in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. We shall commence reading at verse 32. Matthew 15 and at verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness, as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coasts of Magdala. Now shall we read in the Gospel according to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. The Lord had been speaking to Martha of Bethany, and she was most distressed to think that her brother's body would be exposed because he had been 4 days dead. Verse 40 says, And Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people who stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound up with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews, who came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. And finally, in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Reading at verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof, until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine, until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his holy word. In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ reminded his disciples that when 5,000 plus had to be fed, that there was sufficient food for them all. And then he also brought to their mind the fact that when the 4,000 were fed, that there were 7 baskets, whereas when the 5,000 were fed, there were 12 baskets. Now, first of all, tonight, as we think of the feeding of the 4,000 men, besides the women and children, we think of thanksgiving for the provision of a need. Thanksgiving for the provision of a need. Now, a great multitude had assembled on the mountain where the Lord Jesus Christ was. Many of them suffered from all different kinds of ailments. And there we see the healing ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But they not only came for the healing, they came also for the hearing of the Word of God. And for 3 days they had been with him. The Lord Jesus Christ realized that many of them must have been very hungry by that time. We are also told that many of them had come a great distance to be with the Lord. And it's very interesting and informative to note here, first of all, the Lord's compassion in seeing the need. The Lord's compassion in seeing the need. His heart was moved when he realized the need of this great multitude. And my dear friends, whatever your need may be tonight, isn't it wonderful to know that the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ is still the same? That in heaven is the Lord of glory, but the Lord of glory, who never ceased to be what he always was, the Son of Man, or the Son of God, is now the man, Christ Jesus. And because he understands humanity, he is fully acquainted with our feelings as well as with our failings. So that he understands our needs tonight. And he has a compassionate heart. Sometimes even our closest friends may not understand the pain that we are suffering, the hurt that we may be having, the emotional upsets that may be taking place in our life. But the Lord Jesus Christ is fully acquainted with every single circumstance. There's not a pang that rends the heart, but the man of sorrow bears a path. So we think tonight of the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. He cares, and he cares for you. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing that truth can do. He always gives the best to those. The Lord's compassion in seeing the need. But we also observe here the Lord's concern in meeting the need. Because he called the disciples and he presented the problem to them. Christ is not only compassionate in seeing our need, but he is concerned that every need may be fully met. The Apostle Paul realized the importance and significance of this plentiful provision. And when he wrote his letter to the Philippians, he was not really concerned about his own need. But he said to them, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And we can be assured tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned that your need or needs may be fully met. But what happened? When he talked with the disciples, he asked them about food. And all they had, they said, were 7 loaves and a few small fishes. And here we see the Lord's competence in supplying the need. Because, as happened in the case of the 5,000, he took that little and made it much. He multiplied it over and over again, so that every need of every person was completely met. We used to sing a chorus in the old country, and I repeated the words in college just a few weeks ago. I thought that everyone here knew it. I discovered that it wasn't known. But there was one man there who had originally been a captain in the Salvation Army. And he said to me, "Did you get that chorus from the Salvation Army?" And I said, "What chorus?" He said, "That one that you recited concerning Christ being the answer to our need." And I began to think, and I said, "Yes, when I was in medical practice, I remember I had a patient who was a Salvationist. And we were discussing the matter of how the Lord takes care of needs. And I remember he said, on that occasion, these words that I felt were so good that I decided to remember them, and we used to sing that as a chorus. And you know it, I'm sure. Christ is the answer to my every need. Christ is the answer. He is my friend indeed. Problems of life, my spirit may assail. With Christ my Savior, I shall never fail. For Christ is the answer to my need." Hands up, those who know that chorus. Oh, we have a few. Great. Now, these are true words. And the Lord proved this in feeding that great multitude. And the Lord is able to supply your need tonight, dear friend, whatever it may be. Praise his name. Now, there were 7 baskets after everyone had been fully satisfied. 7 baskets of broken pieces of fragments. Now, the 12 baskets that remained over after the feeding of the 5,000, the word that is used there in the original text, is used again by the Lord in chapter 16 of Matthew, was a small wicker basket. But the baskets mentioned, the 7 mentioned in the feeding of the 4,000, is a different word. And it's a very much larger basket. It's a hamper-sized basket. So that really the 7 baskets would likely have contained even more broken pieces than the 12 did altogether. Proving again the abundant supply that's always available to us by faith. When I was a boy in Sunday school in Aberdeen, Scotland, I remember having to recite a poem called John Newton's Bank. The only verse I can remember is this one, and you'll say after I've recited it, "How in the world could a Scotsman ever forget that one anyhow? Why live so miserly and poor? Your bank contains a plenty. Why come and take a £1 note, change it to dollar if you like, when you might have a 20? Now you knew that would appeal to me, didn't you? What is being said in these few lines is this, that the bank of heaven is always open for business. That there is more than enough for all of us. And yet we come and ask for so little when we can have so much. Why come and ask for only one denomination, $1, shall we say, in our currency, when we could have a 20. The Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How wonderful the Lord is in supplying our needs. And I'm sure if I asked for testimonies tonight, there would be many who would be able to testify concerning the grace and goodness of the Lord in supplying needs in so many different ways. Now in John chapter 11, we have thanksgiving in faith. The Lord Jesus Christ was always welcome in that home in Bethany. In that home there were two sisters and one brother, as you remember. Martha had been very occupied in serving the Lord. She put her devotion for the Lord into diligent service. The only problem with Martha was that she was so occupied with the many things that she missed out on the main thing. One of my students some time ago gave me a card with these words on it. Never be so busy with the work of the Lord that you forget the Lord of the work. Dean Vaughan has said that many a Christian's work has become his spiritual grave. Martha was preoccupied with the many things, and the Lord had to say, Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her, because Mary had decided and determined that she was going to spend time listening to the Lord and learning from the Lord. And remember, it says, Mary also sat at Jesus' feet. That doesn't imply that Martha did. So it could imply that Mary had done her share of the household responsibilities and still was able to give time to spend with the Lord. What she had chosen to do was of permanent value. And think of the spiritual discernment that Mary had when she brought that costly ointment with which she anointed the Lord Jesus Christ. It represented a whole year's earnings. And this she willingly and gladly gave to the Lord. And you remember what the Savior said, against the day of my burial hath she kept it. Because Mary brought him in life what others brought to him in death. But now, there was great sadness in that home. Lazarus had been sick. He had been carefully nursed, but he died. The statement was, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. I remember reading that in the very early days of D.L. Moody's ministry, when he was asked to conduct his first funeral service, he just wondered what the Lord did on such an occasion. And when he looked up, what happened when death took place, he discovered that the Lord raised the dead that were brought to him. And remember, no one ever died in the presence of the Lord of life. He was already dead before the thief, the malefactor, died. But now he assures Martha concerning what is going to happen. And I'm always impressed by the fact of the evidence of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here again we see his compassion in that Jesus wept. And yet he knew perfectly well that in such a short time from then, he was going to restore Lazarus to life. Here we see, first of all, the confidence of faith. Martha had said to him earlier on, "If you'd been here, my brother would not have died," but she said, "I know even now, that whatsoever you ask of God, he'll give it to you. Even now." And then, there at the grave of Lazarus, when the Lord asked him to remove the stone from the tomb, he had to remind Martha, and he said, "If thou believest, thou shalt see the glory of God." The statement is often used, seeing is believing. But really, in the spiritual sense, believing is seeing. Because the things of God are better understood by believing than they are by understanding. "If thou believest, thou shalt see the glory of God." And the Lord Jesus Christ showed his confidence in his relationship with the Father, and to prove to those around him that divine relationship, he gave thanks to the Lord God of heaven, to God the Father, that his prayers were answered, that he always had him. The confidence of faith. But then we see the confirmation of faith when the Lord said, "Lazarus, come forth." The old Puritan writer said, if the Lord had just said, "Come forth," every person buried in that cemetery would have immediately been raised from the dead. But the Lord specified, "Lazarus, and he that was dead came forth," proving that the faith was a reality, that they could trust the Lord implicitly. You'll note here that the Lord never does for us what we can do for ourselves. He asked them to remove the stone. That's something they could do. He asked them to remove the grave clothes from Lazarus. That is something that they also could do. The Lord will always do for us what we cannot, but he always expects us to do what we can. In a moment, he could have removed that stone, taken away the grave clothes, but he gave those people the opportunity taking part in the results of that wonderful miracle. The confidence of faith, the confirmation of faith, and then you'll note that what happened afterwards, because of what they saw, there were those who believed on him. Many believed on him as a result of witnessing that miracle. The commitment of faith. There were those who said, "All right, now we believe, we accept the fact that Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah." There was a great man of God in England many years ago whom God greatly used in evangelism. And in the place where he was ministering, he said, "Oh God, raise up a Lazarus in this place," because there had been little or no response to the gospel. The most notorious character in that town stumbled in to one of the meetings. And that night, that man came to know Jesus Christ. And as a result of the transformation in that man's life, many others put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The commitment of faith. Then when we come to Luke chapter 22, we have in the first part of that reading, thanksgiving for the Passover. Now the Passover was perhaps the most important Jewish feast. It had great significance to the Jews. And to the Lord himself, it had great significance and importance. You remember that in Exodus chapter 12, we have the account of that first Passover in the land of Egypt. The Passover produced a sacrifice in the past. A lamb was taken. That lamb had to be without blemish. It had to be kept for 10 days, and then it had to be slain in the evening. Its blood was taken, and then that blood applied to the doorposts of the houses. And the word of God was, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. There was sacrifice involved in the Passover. There was security resulted from that, because God said, I will pass over you, that is, to protect you, as a mother bird would pass over her young. So it indicated security for those who had the blood applied. But the Passover also presented a sign for the future. You remember that when Paul wrote his first letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 5, verse 7, he says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So it was a sign, a type, a picture of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what it must have meant to the Lord to take part in that Passover feast when he knew so well its significance as it related to his own sacrifice and death? And yet he gave thanks, because he had desired to keep the Passover with his disciples before he suffered. Thanksgiving for the Passover. And then finally, in Luke chapter 22, we have the institution of what we call the Lord's Supper. And there again we see the Lord Jesus Christ express his thanks for the emblem. The bread representing his body. The cup speaking of his blood. The Lord's Supper is a very important and significant ordinance in the life of the believer. It was instituted by the Lord himself. He invited participation. He gave the emblems to his disciples. In other parallel passages, in Matthew and Mark, he said, as recorded there, take, eat, and then drink. Participation in the Lord's Supper is the right as well as the responsibility of every true child of God. It is a time that we speak of often as communion, because it indicates our fellowship with the Lord and our fellowship with all those who know and love the Lord. The the Lord's Supper also involves contemplation. For the Lord said, "This do in remembrance of me." When we not only come for fellowship, but we come especially for worship, to express our appreciation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we contemplate, as we remember his unique birth, his perfect life, his effective ministry, his vicarious death, his glorious resurrection and ascension to the Father's right hand. I believe that many of us here would say that this particular meeting, when we come on the Lord's Day around the Lord's table to proclaim the Lord's death till the Lord shall come, is one of the most precious experiences on this side of heaven. And I believe, dear friends, that as true followers of Jesus Christ, we have the responsibility to enter in to the real meaning of what it is to express from hearts overflowing with love to him because of his love to us, our worship, our thanksgiving, our appreciation, as we remember him. Savior, we remember thee, thy deep woe and agony, all thy suffering on the tree. Savior, we adore thee. And I believe that as assemblies of God's people, we have been preserved from the inroads of liberalism and modernism because we have placed tremendous emphasis upon the importance of the Lord's Supper. As we gather together around the Lord's table and constantly keep before us the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how can we ever turn aside from true devotion to the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? On my last visit to New Zealand, I was talking with the principal of the largest high school in that country. He is an elder in one of the evangelical Presbyterian churches in that country. And he was sharing with me the blessing that he had received through attending what he called a brethren's communion service. And he said, "You know, I'm very interested to note that in inter-varsity work, when we have a communion service, we have conducted on similar lines to what you brethren people do." I believe the simplicity of meeting together around the Lord's table on the first day of the week is a very vital and important factor in the service and in the witness of every local church. Because I see three ministries in every church gathered together to the name of the Lord. There is, first of all, the upward ministry. That is when we come together to worship, to praise and to thank the Lord. It is also when we meet together at other meetings for prayer. That's the upward ministry to God. Then there is the inward ministry, as we experience and enjoy fellowship with one another, as we participate in these blessings that are ours in Christ, and also as we are involved in the teaching ministry of the local church, in the building up of the Lord's people, in edification, and also in discipline. That's the inward ministry.
But then let us never forget that if a local church is going to function to the glory of God, there must also be the outward ministry. In evangelism, in service ministries to reach out to people where they are, so that God might, by His grace, may save souls, and that we may have a real care and concern to help in every possible way those who have needs. The upward ministry, the inward ministry, and then the outward ministry of the church. The Lord's Supper invites participation. The Lord's Supper involves contemplation. And the Lord's Supper inspires our anticipation. In the other references in the Gospels, the Lord speaks in terms of His coming in connection with the communion service or the Lord's Supper. And you remember that when Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show or proclaim the Lord's death till He come." So we look back to the cross and remember in the emblems His precious body that was given for us. In the cup, His precious blood that was shed for us. And then we await that glad and glorious moment when the Lord Himself shall come and receive us into His presence. And each time we come together for the breaking of bread, for the remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we should come with this eager expectation. As the Savior from heaven said, recorded in Revelation 22, three times over, "I come quickly." And on the third time, He said, "Surely I come quickly." And our redeemed hearts would respond this evening with joyful anticipation. And we would say, "Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So that every Lord's Day should be a thanksgiving day as we give to the Lord the glory that is due unto His name. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Now we're going to close by singing what my father used to call the Christian's National Anthem. It hasn't got a number, but it's in the front part of your book. Praise the Savior, ye who know Him, who can tell how much we owe Him. Gladly let us render to Him all we are and have. Jesus is the name that charms us. He for conflict sits and arms us. Nothing moves and nothing harms us while we trust in Him. Number not known, but right in the front of the book. last verse can be a bit tricky, can't it? With the would and should and could. But then we shall be where we would be. Then we shall be what we should be. Things which are not now nor could be, then shall be our own. Let's join together in prayer as we commend ourselves to the Lord. O God, our Father, we're so grateful that our hearts can join together in praise and thanksgiving on this Thanksgiving Day and rejoice in thy faithfulness. How good thou hast been to us, O God, and for all thy mercies and blessings, we praise thy holy name. Lord, we do ask that thou wilt enable us day by day to express to thee our gratitude for all the many blessings with which thou dost daily endow us. And as we think in terms of the Lord's Supper and of our gathering together around the Lord's table, wilt thou enable us all to realize the spiritual implications of this exercise, so that we may come with hearts prepared by the Holy Spirit of God, that there may be this self-examination, so that we may come and discern the Lord's body and realize the significance of the cup as it represents his blood that has been shed for the redemption of our sins. Oh, how we praise thee for all thy love to us, for the grace which thou hast manifested through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we do ask that thou wilt help each of us tonight to renew our covenant with thee, as it were, to believe that thou art able to do far beyond our greatest expectations, to lay hold by faith on the promises of God, and to believe and know that all things are working together for our ultimate good. We thank thee, O God, for the promise of the return of thy Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a moment and what a meeting when we shall see him whom our souls adore. We are looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. With such a blessed hope in view, we would more holy be, more like our risen glorious Lord, whose face we soon shall see. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Shall we sing, Take the Name of Jesus with You?